Hello, fellow Vikings fans. I'm Scotty Ball, and thanks, as always, for joining those of us here with Vikings Digital Diaries at thesportsdaily.com for another inspirational episode of The War Room here, coming to you a day late. Normally, we roll on Wednesday nights to have everything in before the Thursday night game, but life got in the way this week. Oh well, no biggie. We assume you can figure out on your own that the matchups in the Saints-Panthers game tonight as we're recording this are all pretty good plays. So we're hoping you could figure that out on your own. But joining me, as always, is my co-host with the utmost, the one and only Miles Gorham. How are you doing, Miles?
I'm good, Scotty. How you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. I'm hoping that this winter weather threat that we're hearing rumblings of in Minnesota are greatly exaggerated. And I'm also trying to do my best to multitask tonight here between the podcast, the T-Wolves, the Wild, and the Saints-Panthers game. So if I seem distracted at any point in time, it's probably because I am. But I'll do my best.
A lot going on. You can't ignore it all.
Yeah, can't help it. I'm a sports fan, and I love my Minnesota team. So fire them up whenever they're on the TV. But before we dive into our Minnesota football team, who just continues to go through its woes here, looking for its first win in over a month, hosting the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday, let's go over, you know, the most important thing of every show, the selection of and the results of Miles and I's head-to-head matchups each week. Yes, we have to, actually. And for those of you who play along with us at home, you probably got bragging rights over both Miles and myself this week, as both of us had our lowest scoring performances of the season since we've been keeping track here and doing this. Miles had the team of Philip Rivers, Melvin Gordon, Jordan Matthews, and C.J. Fedorowicz, which I had a lovely time spelling in my notebook, going up against my team of Joe Flacco, Jordan Howard, DeAndre Hopkins, and Dennis Pitta. You had two guys show up. I had one. Flacco got me 21 points. Howard was next with 8. Hopkins not much in a victory with 4. And Pitta ending that touchdown streak against the Browns with a 2. Your tight end, Fedorowicz, he had 2 as well. Matthews had 7. Melvin Gordon had 13. So an okay game for Gordon, but subpar by his recent standards. And then Philip Rivers was 17. So, albeit a stinker of a game, you came out victorious at 39-35, Miles. And our season series is now all knotted up again at 3 wins, 3 losses, and 1 tie apiece.
All right.
Yeah. So
maybe it'd be ugly, but I'll take it.
That's right, exactly. And the Vikings, I think, would be more than happy to take the same here as soon as possible. They've been getting really close to getting one of those ugly wins here these last couple weeks, but just unable to. The big news, obviously, in Minnesota this week was the releasing of kicker Blair Walsh. The Vikings signed kicker Kai Forbath, formerly of the Saints last year, and prior to that, I believe, with the Redskins. So if you're a fantasy owner that drafted Blair Walsh and you haven't done so yet, you need to get rid of him. not that we talk much about kickers, but since we have the excuse here just for a minute, is Kai Forbath a guy that at least the Vikings, if not fantasy owners, stepping aside from that for a moment, but that at least the Vikings can hopefully rely on to come in and consistently hit those extra points and those field goals inside 45 yards?
Well, they're going to have to at this point. I mean, it got to the point, it was so bad with, I know they had every excuse to try to put Blair on the team just for the fact that his contract made it hard for them to get rid of him because he's only in the year of his year deal. So that kind of hurt in terms of cap space. It got to that point where it got bad where they couldn't trust him much, so they had to get rid of him. So they're going to have to trust at least for the near future. The foreseeable future. So, yep. In terms of fantasy, you know, he's a guy you play the wait and see. You know, hopefully, maybe he catches lightning in a bottle, and you get a little an opportunity there. But in terms of, you know, with everything else, as a team fan, and in Minnesota in general, you, like I said before, you got to rely on them and got to hope the best for them.
Yep, completely agreed. Now, since we're on the Vikings, and that's, you know, our primary area of passion here on the website, it's appeared to me that all kicker woes aside, in the past 2 weeks since Shurmur took over as offensive coordinator, that at times the Vikings seem to be able to move the ball a little bit better than they had been as of late. With Diggs, for example, getting some really good fantasy numbers last week, and Rudolph being a little more consistent in his production since Shurmur's gotten the play calling as well. However, the running back's really struggling. How are you feeling about the fantasy plays on the Vikings offensive side this week, going up against a Cardinals defense that by reputation is very tough and by names still has a lot of talent on it, but has definitely taken, you know, at least a small step backwards from where they were last year as one of the elite defenses in the league to being just one of the, you know, better top 10 defenses in the league?
Yeah, so I think you know, both, you know, in terms of fantasy, I think both defenses right now are, could potentially be good plays, just because on both teams, the offensive line is pretty banged up. Obviously, for the Vikings, they lose their second left tackle and Jake Long over the at the end of last weekend's game, and so there, you know, I think it sounds like T.J. Clemens is moving back to left tackle, and then probably Jeremiah Searles will play right tackle. So It's just a pretty banged up and pretty bad offensive line for the Vikes, as it's been all season. So, you know, if you own the Cardinals defense right now, that's a pretty decent play, just because you could expect them to get a few sacks and kind of stymie that offense just a little bit.
And but I think then, with how, you know, one-dimensional they've been, you know, with the inability to run the ball.
You can expect the Vikings to not be able to run against this team. You can hope, and they're obviously going to continue to try, but at this point you haven't seen it, so I don't expect things to just completely change in one game. So there's that, and then on the offensive side of the ball for the Vikings, you got to love guys like Stephon Diggs right now. I mean, he broke an NFL record over the last 2 weeks. You know, what was it, having 13 plus receptions in back-to-back games is a new NFL record. So Good for him. It's always a lone positive for that Vikings team right now. But in terms of fantasy, he's not scoring touchdowns, but you know, it almost doesn't matter for the fact that he's racking up the receptions and the yards. So.
Yeah, especially if you got him in a PPR league where you're getting points for those receptions, PPR. Those touches.
Right. And then I'd rely on Diggs and Rudolph in this game. They'll probably be the only two primary guys that I'd rely on for the Vikings right now. And if you needed a flyer, I think potentially Bradford, he plays a lot better at home than he does in the road, even though he played fairly well last week. So he might be a decent option, but that'd be if you're really in need.
Right. Well, since you brought that up, who's on bye this week that someone might be in need of, whether it be a quarterback or any other position, before we get to the Cardinals side of the Vikings-Cardinals game?
Yeah, so right now there are four teams. So in terms of quarterbacks, you'd only pretty much have two quarterbacks. So on teams on bye this week, you got Atlanta, Denver, the New York Jets, and then the San Diego Chargers.
Okay.
So you're missing guys like Matt Ryan and Rivers, exactly. So not a whole lot besides that, though. So there's a lot of options besides missing those two guys, but. They're two pretty good fantasy quarterbacks as well. So,
right, absolutely. And as I want to say, most of the injuries, as far as starting quarterbacks are concerned, throughout the league, are actually on the upswing. You know, where guys like Russell Wilson and Big Ben and some of those names that have been out, they're all pretty healthy now and back in the fold. So let's go back then to the Cardinals side of things in the Vikings-Cardinals game. I hate to say it, but I really like I like David Johnson every week, but I definitely like him from a fantasy standpoint this week, going up against a Vikings defense that definitely has had its share of struggles stopping the run. throughout this season. And the way Carson Palmer's kind of regressed a little bit this year as well, I don't see any reason for the Cardinals to want to be more pass happy than they are run heavy. You got the same feeling on DJ this week, that he's pretty much a top, you know, top three, top five running back this week against our beloved Vikes?
Definitely. I mean, David Johnson's one of the best premier backs in the league, and the Vikings have struggled against the bigger, more athletic running, you know, the guys that break arm tackles, they don't go down very easily, and David Johnson's definitely one of those guys, and he's an explosive playmaker. And I think David Johnson honestly just masks a lot of the inefficiencies that offense has. And, you know, I love him this week. It's hard to bet against the Vikings, but I know the Vikings defense, they have some injured players coming back, you know, like Eric Kendricks, Captain Marlins potentially coming back this week, and then
that would be huge.
It'd be huge, especially, you know, going against guy like Larry Fitzgerald. But staying on the David Johnson train, I just think they're gonna feed him the ball, and he's gonna get his 25, 30 touches like he does every game, and he'll make the most of it like he usually does.
I agree. Now, for me, pretty much this whole year, I've been, you know, not as big of a fan, not as excited about the fantasy production of the Cardinals passing game as I was last year, but trying to maybe I'm looking into it a little too much, but the fact that this game is in Minnesota, do you envision a decent possibility of Larry Fitzgerald playing inspired, getting his number called, you know, at least in certain situations where he can make some plays and maybe put up some big numbers and have a nice big game in his return here to Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, Larry probably – I'm sure he loves coming to Minnesota and coming up here and playing, and I'm sure he's going to be excited about playing in the new stadium in his hometown. So I feel like he's always inspired every week, but definitely this week, you know, coming back home for him. Came off a huge game. I mean, albeit it's the San Francisco 49ers, but he had 12 catches for 132 yards last week. So they're going to probably continue to try to get him the ball the way they have, and he's going to rack up the targets. And for me in PPR leagues, that's gold. If you're a player that garners a lot of targets, you love that. Just like a Stephon Diggs, I think that's what we're seeing from Larry Fitzgerald right now. So I think he's a solid wide receiver two flex play this week, especially if Captain Munderland's still banged up.
Yep. And I feel, and I don't know if the numbers this year support my feeling or not, but I feel like when teams get down, you know, inside the 20-yard line in the red zone against the Vikings defense, that we can tend to struggle from time to time against the bigger, taller receivers who can go up and get the ball. I don't know. That might just, and I might be wrong with that, but I feel like Larry Fitzgerald's always been really good at being, you know, one of those red zone targets that, you know, just give him a back shoulder throw in some one-on-one, and he'll go up and get it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And the Vikings, like I said, they seem to, at least from time to time, struggle against receivers like that inside the red zone. So wouldn't shock me at all if Fitz gets a touchdown. But it would surprise me if they have a big passing output, you know, Carson Palmer and the whole crew included. I expect it to be a very defensive running the ball, both sides type of game for the most part, and hopefully the Vikings can finally come out on the right side of the scoreboard and get a long overdue victory.
Yes.
Because it seems like the morale, you know, just for everybody, like they just need a win, you know, like and things can get better, but until they get that win, it keeps getting tougher.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, enough Vikings woes. Moving on to other fantasy football topics. And we're, like I said, we're skipping the Saints-Panthers game. Pretty much everybody's a good play in for the most part this week. I would expect it to be fairly high scoring. You thinking kind of the same thing on that one game tonight here, that it'll be pretty high scoring fantasy-wise?
Yeah, definitely. I just think the Panthers might have a little better opportunity just because they're at home, but I think the Saints have been playing a lot better football than they have been previously, so that's always good for them.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, last week we started our position breakdown with running backs. Let's mix it up just a little bit here this week. Let's start with quarterbacks. You mentioned two big names that are out on bye this week, with Rivers and Ryan. I've got my game that I've got circled that, like, I want these quarterbacks, I want these wide receivers. I just think the passing game is going to go off here. And so I'm going to start our focus on this one. Is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Detroit Lions, Blake Bortles, garbage time fantasy quarterback extraordinaire, going up against Matthew Stafford at home, against a very subpar Jacksonville Jaguars defense and no real running game to speak of on either side, for either team. So I think this is just going to be a ton. I think both quarterbacks are going to have, you know, 40 to 55 attempts apiece, and it's just going to be slinging the ball around all over the place. You like either of those quarterbacks, both those quarterbacks this week?
Oh, yeah. I love Matt Stafford right now. I think he's probably one of my top 7 or 8 fantasy quarterbacks, and he's probably one of my top 7 or 8 quarterbacks overall right now. And he's playing such good football. And they're coming off their bye after their beating us in here at home a couple weeks ago, and they had to come back home and play a pretty porous Jacksonville Jaguars team who, like you said, Blake Bortles is the perfect garbage time quarterback. It doesn't, you know, you can't drop him in fantasy because it doesn't matter how bad he is, he still finds a way to get the fantasy points. So,
yep.
And that trickles down to guys like Allen Robinson and even Marquise Lee's contributing now, and Allen Hurns. So,
yep.
All those guys right now, I think, are solid plays. I think Allen Robinson's a high wide receiver 2, low end wide receiver 1. And then I'd even put Marquise Lee as a solid flex play this week against the Lions pass defense. So,
well, they're going to have to try to keep that up with them, I think. You know,
yeah.
That's the only way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what about the wide receivers on the Detroit side? I think one of those three this week is probably going to be a huge top 5 fantasy performer this week. I don't know if it's going to be Anquan Boldin with, you know, 3 catches for 40 yards and 3 touchdowns, or if it's going to be Golden Tate going off, or if it's going to be Marvin Jones getting back to what he was doing, the first month of the year, being one of the, if not the top fantasy wide receiver in all football for a while. Who are you liking? What are you thinking on those Detroit Lions wide receivers plays in this week's game?
Yeah. So I know we talked about this a few weeks ago with Jalen Ramsey, but I'm just curious to see what the Jacksonville Jaguars defense has planned for him and what they want to do against this Lions high-scoring offense, because if Ramsey's on, you know, whoever Ramsey lines up on, he's had a lot of success so far this year.
Yep.
Teams are having a tough time throwing his way. So I would pretty much say if he shadows anybody, then that person's probably gonna struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's at this point. I don't think he's at the point in his career where he's gonna shadow anybody. So I do think that all three of those guys are good plays. I especially like Eric Ebron this week. I think he's a really good play. They just don't have somebody to match up against him, and he's finally healthy. So you saw him eat up the Vikings a couple weeks ago before their bye.
Yeah.
And that only helps guys like Theo Riddick. And then, you know, the short yardage extraordinaire Golden Tate. So,
yep.
I like all those plays. I like all the plays this week for the Detroit Lions.
Boy, now that you bring up that Jalen Ramsey factor, though, I think I might have to edit one of my daily league lineups that I got saved coming up, where I got Marvin Jones in it. And now that you mention that, I think. Based off of what I know how they've been using Ramsey, which isn't a lot. I don't watch a lot of Jacksonville Jaguars games.
Yeah.
But I believe he's used more on the sidelines than he is in the slot, which to me would suggest that Golden Tate might have the better odds for a big game than Marvin Jones. If, in fact, you know, like you said, the matchups work out where he's, you know, going up against Marvin Jones, shadowing him almost a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, Yeah, boy, I don't know. Might have to edit that now. Thanks for bringing that up. I forgot about the Jalen Ramsey factor.
I'm a big Jalen Ramsey fan, if you can't tell.
Yes, no, I felt he should have been the number one pick, personally, if we were just going by, you know, take the best player.
Pure talent.
The superstar.
Yeah.
But anyway, what other quarterbacks do you like this week for their matchups?
Well, we're going matchup. I think Kirk Cousins looks good again this week. You saw how well he played against the Vikings last week. The Vikings have a lot better of a pass defense than the Green Bay Packers do at this point. And they're still at home. So, again, I'd continue to roll Kirk Cousins as one of the top QB plays this week. He's just playing. He's been playing really well. I mean, after the first couple of games of the season, he's come on strong to, you know, to get their team into a better position for a playoff push.
Absolutely. Another name kind of like that I got written down is Marcus Mariota, going up against the Indianapolis Colts defense, albeit on the road. My one concern that I would have if I was playing Mariota this week is just that the Titans' run game just, you know, steamrolls all over the Colts for four quarters, and Marcus doesn't even have to throw the ball more than 10, 15 times. But, you know, other than that, I like him as well. And then as far as big names, Tom Brady going up against the 49ers. And doesn't Big Ben's got the Cleveland Browns this week, I want to say as well, too.
Yeah.
So you got some big names with some really good matchups there as well. How about quarters?
All on the road,
maybe,
too.
Oh, what's that?
I was just saying Tom Brady and Big Ben are both on the road.
Yes, that is correct. And those are always things to take into consideration. I tend to overlook them more often than I should, fantasy-wise, but you're always right to bring it up.
I mean, this week, against the teams they're playing, though, I'm not as worried as I would be, especially for a guy like Big Ben. He struggles a little bit more on the road, but I don't expect Cleveland to really. I mean, they might put up a fight, you know, a little bit more of a fight than people might expect, but I don't expect it to be a too big of an issue where Big Ben doesn't have a big game.
Right, right. Okay, so how about maybe some quarterbacks that people might be considering starting this week that don't have the best matchups? For example, Jameis Winston on the road against the tough Kansas City Chiefs secondary and defense is one that comes to my mind. Any quarterbacks that you're not too big on this week?
Yeah, I like that. I like that call on Jameis Winston. I mean, he's played really well as of late, too. He's coming off, I think, you know, four straight weeks of 15-plus, 16-plus fantasy points, which has been really good, and he's been limiting in his turnovers, so he's looked a lot better. Just like Marcus Mariota, both those guys are playing a lot better than they were early in the season. But getting off that track, I mean, I do think Carson Palmer is one of those guys who's got a tough matchup, you know, against our Vikings.
Yep.
Joe Flacco on the road against Dallas. Dallas is surprisingly have a pretty solid defense. And then big number one overall, first overall pick in the NFL draft this year, he's finally getting a start. Jared Goff is playing the Miami Dolphins at home. obviously, I would hope somebody's not I would hope somebody's not playing him this week, but
so what you're saying is start the Dolphins defense. Pick up the Dolphins defense and start the Dolphins defense. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I expect Jared Goff to have some issues, and I expect him to have a few turnovers as well. So
I agree. I think that actually segues really good into our next position breakdown in the running backs. Let's start the focus with sometime in some leagues he was the number one pick in the draft, running back Todd Gurley of the Los Angeles Rams. He's got the rookie quarterback starting this week now, like you said, going up against the Miami Dolphins. Obviously they're going to want to feed him the ball as much as possible, but don't you think that, you know, that Miami defense is going to be putting 8, 9, 10, 11 guys in the box every play, just, you know, begging them to pass the ball? And so maybe, you know, yet another week of lowered expectations for Todd Gurley owners?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the stats right now. Todd Gurley hasn't even topped 100 yards all season. And I know Jeff Fisher's come out and said that they plan on running the ball pretty heavily this week, especially with Goff under center. I'd temper my expectations. All season it's been tempered expectations for Todd Gurley. Unfortunately, a lot of it's on his offensive line and the lack of blocking, kind of like the Minnesota Vikings. But at the same time, he's missed his opportunities as well, and it just hasn't been the sophomore season people were hoping for, fantasy owners were hoping for with Todd Gurley. So, I mean, I'd probably roll him out this week just because you know he's going to get the opportunities, and you're hoping that he busts one or gets in the end zone. But I still wouldn't roll him out there as my RB1 this week unless you're in dire need of it.
Completely agree. Now, how about the running back on the other side in that same game? Ajayi, however you say it.
Yeah.
He had a few weeks where, I mean, he had back-to-back 200-yard weeks here not too long ago. But he has come back down to earth in the weeks since then. Is this another week where maybe, yeah, expect closer to, you know, 50 to 80 yards and not the whole, you know, 150 couple touchdowns, Ajayi, that owners got for a few weeks here not too long ago?
Yeah, so, I mean, the Rams' defense is pretty solid, especially against the run, which is one of their strengths, and that might be tough for a guy like Ajayi to get on the road, you know, going from the East Coast to the West Coast in L.A. this week. I wouldn't call it a down week, but in terms of what he was doing before that, he had, you know, 19 rushes for 79 yards in San Diego last week. So I'd expect similar numbers this week, you know, in L.A., you know, for Ajayi. And if he can get in the end zone, that's, you know, that only helps. And that's the biggest thing is if he can find his way to the end zone. But if he doesn't, then I think it's going to be a tough fantasy game for him.
One final note, ray of hope for Todd Gurley owners in this game. The Miami Dolphins are actually the third worst team in all of football against the run, giving up almost 130 yards a game. So, you know, hey, there is a little hope for the Gurley owners maybe in this week. One other running back I want to bring up, because he's like my favorite inconsistent running back. He's either really good or terrible. Ryan Matthews of the Eagles. He actually had a really good week, but this week I feel that he does not have a very favorable matchup at all. You on the same page with Mr. Ryan Matthews this week?
Oh, I mean, I own him in one of my leagues, and I didn't even start him last week against Atlanta. And Atlanta's run defense isn't – their defense in general isn't very good, and I didn't start him. I mean, I ended up winning. Thank goodness I had I plugged in CJ Procise, which I think we'll talk about in my transition to that, because that's probably one of my favorite young running backs right now. But Ryan Matthews, you know, for the last few weeks, they've come out and said that Darren Sproles has been the guy getting all the carries and opportunities, and so you're like, okay, so you can't trust Ryan Matthews at this point. I mean, he goes off last week for 19 rushes for 190 yards and two touchdowns. Blows up my fantasy team on my bench while he's sitting on my bench. Again, luckily I started CJ Procise, who played really well. But yeah, so it's just really hard to trust Ryan Matthews at this point. And I don't always put it on him. It's not always his fault. I just think it's flow of the game. And if he's playing well, they're going to give him the opportunity. I think, you know, they do the running back by committee and the hot hand. And it's just been hard for him to be the hot hand all season, so...
Yep, and I just they're on the road this week against the Seattle Seahawks, and I just, you know, yeah, don't get overly excited thinking that last week is going to be every week, you know, if you're a Ryan Matthews owner. But yeah, let's closing out. Final name I want to throw out there just to you know, be leery of from a fantasy standpoint, running backs wise, is Isaiah Crowell of the Browns. Just seems like he's been, you know, his numbers have been steadily declining. And becoming more average or normal over the last several weeks. And I think going up against that Pittsburgh Steelers offense that, you know, come third quarter, the score is going to, you know, not allow them to be running the ball very much at that point in time.